Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Francis Bull, Francis Bull, I'm excited. You're a fool.
Well, only half of that's true.
What? Which half of it?
Hey, you tell me.
Hey, so...
So wait, you didn't answer me.
You're Francis Bull.
Yeah, that's the true bit.
Is that the true bit?
You're saying you're not excited for our new guest?
I am excited for our new guest. Are you kidding me? I'm over the moon excited for our new guest, especially because at the moment I'm self-quarantining because I got back from Ibiza and I have to do that because I was there for 2 days.
That's nothing to do with COVID. That's more like how you exposed yourself.
What do you mean exposed? Ladies and gentlemen, hello. Welcome to the podcast.
How was Ibiza?
It was great. I was only there for a couple of days.
Did you go clubbing?
I didn't go clubbing. All the clubs are shut, so I didn't go clubbing.
Yeah. Picked a great time to go to Ibiza.
Yeah. Flew to Ibiza, didn't go clubbing, and then just had to quarantine. Sweet.
What did you do out there?
Nothing. Just sat in the hotel.
The coronavirus challenge. I just went out there to do the coronavirus challenge.
Hello, lovely private partners. It's your boy, Jamie and Francis here. We have a very exciting guest on the podcast today. We have the lovely Catherine Ryan on the podcast. Now, Catherine is super busy at the moment. She's doing Netflix shows.
She is a world-famous comedian.
She's world-famous.
Canadian origin.
Canadian origin.
And very romantically, married her high school sweetheart, right? After
Bobby.
Years of... Bobby.
Bobby, who I've met, and I just
after
think
breaking up with him at 16.
Why are you telling everyone before they even listen to the episode?
I was just giving them a warm up. Just warming them up. Some of the gems in this episode.
Would I give them another gem? Go on, give them another gem.
That sometimes, you know, you can be a bad person, but a good mother.
It's another gem for the podcast. Get ready for it. Listen, we had a lovely chat with her. As I said, she's super busy, so we cannot thank her more that she came on the podcast. Also, as always, you lovely people, if you want to get in touch with us, we love to read out your stories, your comments, your questions, and our bonus episodes on Wednesday. Please DM us at Private Podcast or send us an email, contact@privatepartspodcast.com. But Francis, let's intro the episode with Catherine Ryan.
You can't say, let's intro the episode with Catherine Ryan. If I'm going to intro it, you just got to say, okay, Francis, take it away.
Okay, Francis, take it away.
Now we have on the podcast a true giant of the international comedy scene, Canadian mother.
Canadian mother?
Canadian mother and
yeah,
amazing comedian who's Netflix famous.
If this was
Catherine Ryan!
This is my intro. It'd be the shittest intro I've ever
had. Yeah, but you ruined it by
Okay, we'll just say it normally. Go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Catherine Ryan.
So, Catherine, so how do you determine a millennial? What does determine a millennial?
If you're born between 1982 and 1996, I think it is, then you're just a millennial. They have like a generational definition for millennial, and it's...
I thought you'd be wouldn't you be Generation Z?
No. How old do you think I am, Francis? How brave do you feel today?
22?
No, I'm 37 and I like being 37.
Oh, well, I couldn't have guessed.
Well, you know why? Because you're trained to think that 37-year-old women are like to be discarded, but we're actually cool.
So, oh, no, I know loads of 37-year-old women who are great.
Yeah?
you know loads of 37-year-old women?
In fact, you know, they constitute the majority of my friends.
Cool.
But I think, Catherine, I'm with you. I thought above anyone else I would mind getting old, but I actually don't mind getting old. Not that we're getting old, but when we were younger, when we were like 16, 17, I thought that like 27, 28, 29, 30 was much older. But in fact, it's not. Hey, we're in our 30s and I think we're in our prime right now. That's what I'm feeling. Anyway. Yeah.
I really do love it because it's a time of like mental health and autonomy. I just feel relaxed. When I was 21, I mean, I was making all kinds of bad choices and running around town really vulnerable with skin-colored hair and hair-colored skin.
Was that in Canada?
I moved here when I was 22, I think. Maybe I was 23.
Wait, hang on a second. So as I grew up, when I was younger, right, I was a little bit insecure. I was a little bit like nervous about things like that. And I thought that disappeared as I got to like the age of like 30, but mine only went higher for some reason. So now I'm even more insecure about things and stuff like that. But you're saying you got more secure, but that didn't happen to me.
Well, maybe because you got reality famous and that is, you know, you're going to have anxiety.
But you're way more famous.
No, so, I'm like substantial famous. Like I have a trade and a skill.
What are you trying to say? What are you trying to say? That I don't have a skill?
No, I'm doing the regular Jamie Lang teasing. No, I just think like it's a different type of thing. There's only a certain kind of person who really watches comedy. And some of them are weird. But I think when you do something as big as Made in Chelsea, you're opened up to such a mainstream audience, and there's great danger in that. Like when you become someone the paps are interested in, then you know I would find that very anxious.
Well, I think it depends on the country because you know in Canada and America they have a very different attitude towards reality TV shows than they do in the UK. I think there's a sort of inherent
hatred,
snobby disregard of people who, but you know, the perception that, you know, it's a shortcut and they, you know, they don't have any other talents, so they have to go on reality TV. I think it's pervasive more in England than in America. They celebrate it really.
No, they don't. That's the biggest.
They do. Yes, they do.
They celebrate being a reality star.
The reality TV stars in America are the most famous people in America.
Well,
the Kardashians.
But you are very well known, and the Kardashians get a lot of criticism as well.
It's the nature of it.
But I agree with, you know, Kim Kardashian says, you know, my talent is, I don't even have to have a talent to be compelling. And I find that show to be incredibly compelling. And it's very easy to say, oh, Kim doesn't do anything. All those women work 80-hour weeks and they've got businesses and she's into video games and she's a.
But it makes people feel better to say, oh, well, they're just, you know, a reality TV star. But there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes with the Kardashians, I'm sure, or anyone else, you know.
I think with you guys too, this country has a weird thing about posh people. Like, we don't have class in Canada, and I mean that quite literally, but we don't have a division of class. We would never call a group of people working class or middle class. We just wouldn't. We're not old enough to have that antiquated. So I don't know. People love to sneer.
Class is more related to money, right? In Canada and America, rather than some sort of family lineage, right? It's more monetary based.
Yeah, we have rich and poor, but we don't have old money, new money.
No, exactly. Yeah.
I love how this podcast has started off. That's insane. So far, we've covered more topics than we've ever done in this podcast ever. It's true. We don't cover that much.
We haven't spoken about your anal fissure, for example.
What happened?
Yeah. I know we spoke about this once. I once got an anal fissure, but that is a different story. And I spoke to your friend, who you know, Rhys James.
Yeah.
And Rhys James also had one, and it's one of the most painful things you can ever have.
But
it's,
how do you get those things?
You get it from I think
abusing yourself.
No, not abusing yourself in any way whatsoever. You get it from when you go to the bathroom and it's too large. I think.
Well, that's one way.
I think there's lots of ways to get it. I think there's lots of ways.
But you went up in the butt plug size too fast. Yes.
I've never used a butt plug. I'm too scared of them. Catherine, can I just get, here's another question for you. So you're saying, I think it's easier to be a reality star because we don't have to have a talent, as you said, so we don't have to kind of perform in any way whatsoever. But for a comedian, it's kind of tricky because you do have a talent, therefore you almost do have to perform. And even harder so, you always have to be funny. So if you're put on a show or something like that, or a panel, whatever it is, they expect you to be funny. So actually that's far more harder. You have way more pressure than someone like we do. Do you not think?
No, I mean, I am kidding. I appreciate, as a fan of reality TV, I watch loads of the Housewives franchise and all these real estate franchises, Kardashians, The Hills, Laguna Beach. I watched Made in Chelsea, all of them. That being compelling, and especially relentlessly compelling on camera, is a skill. And I think comedians and reality stars both have to just trust that their authentic voice will come through enough and connect with an audience. I think there's great similarity in that because a comedian can write jokes and develop only as a joke writer. They might not have that stage presence that connects enough to make a career out of it. And that's true of many comedians. They become writers or they become producers or, you know, what have you. There are lots of different jobs in the comedy industry.
And actually, I think that one of the things about having done reality TV and also done a bit of stand-up.
Comedy. I've done a little bit of stand-up as well. So
yeah, you did your first gig at the Comedy Store.
Yeah, I did. Did my first gig at the Comedy Store. Did my second gig at the Comedy Store. Didn't go as well as the first gig.
Were these gigs like the Gong Show?
No, they were not.
He was headlining.
Kevin, do you think I would go to the Gong Show? So the Gong Show, for all our listeners, is where you basically go on as a comedian and you have to survive before you get gonged off. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
It's like, I did not do the Gong Show. I did a charity show. So the first one I did was Tom Lucy asked me to do it as a dare. Mm. And it definitely felt like a dare.
I thought asked Tom Lucy to do it.
No, didn't happen that way. Tom Lucy.
You asked Tom Lucy if you could. And he was like, well, I don't know. Maybe you should do like a few gigs just practicing.
How I remember, it is Tom Lucy begged me to do it. He said, God, you're funny. You should probably get up on stage and do it. So that was my first gig. And that went right. The second gig I ever did was when I did it again, and I honestly thought I was a comedian, because I think what happens is you go into your first gig and it goes well,
yeah,
or it can go badly, but for me it went around and I went, what's all the fuss about, this is easy, because it was a really charming crowd. Then you do it again and you realize, holy shit, it's bad if they turn on you.
It really does force you, being on camera that long, you know, it forces you to almost find your voice, like who you are, what is your shtick, like what are you, you know, what is it that you're trying to, what character are you trying to present, I suppose, and the same I think goes with comedy. You have to find that that authentic voice, and I guess you spend hours stage time just being able to like basically be yourself, right, without feeling like people are watching you.
Yeah, and like you, Jamie, I did well the first time I tried stand-up, and then I started to do very poorly for quite a long time, and I felt like that was definitely part of it, because the more that you die, as we call it, when nobody likes you, then that's when you learn, and it's completely a rite of passage, just totally part of it. And I was doing other people's voices when I started comedy. I was really influenced by Joan Rivers and Sarah Silverman. I think I saw a lot of misogyny in the open mics that I was attending back in Canada in the early 2000s. And so I did comedy like I was a stupid slut. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, it was very self-deprecating. The joke was always on me. And it took me a long time to develop and actually have the confidence that it took to be authentic. And I'm really glad I didn't do TV because I had the benefit of anonymity where I made mistakes and was horrible for many years before anyone ever saw me.
Yeah, but Catherine, do you know what's so interesting about that is that you felt like you had to act like the slut, I think, to be accepted.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy that, in fact, you didn't have the confidence to act, you had the confidence to act something else because you knew that's what the crowd wanted?
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, terrible that you have to kind of go through that, not go through that, but have to act that way in order to be accepted, right? And then... But that's, it, you know, because I think...
But I guess that's a part of finding your voice, right? Seeing what actually works. Right?
Yeah.
And what I think is great about comedy is it's like you've got this constant feedback loop, right, with the audience. So you're constantly able to refine your product, as it were, and who you are or who you want to be actually gets shot down in favor of what the audience really wants you to be. So it's kind of like it's self-selecting in a way, the voice of a comedian.
I still don't understand how you make that leap to say I want to be a comedian, because Catherine, when you were in Canada, you went to Toronto University and then you were working at Hooters.
Yeah.
And then you were like, right, I'm gonna go and be a comedian.
But there's a great comedy culture in Canada. Actually, one of my favorite comedians is Canadian.
Well, yeah, but whoever that is got famous in America, not Canada.
Well, yeah, he did.
Yeah, it's sad, actually. Canada, for some reason, we have wonderful things like the Just for Laughs Festival, and in the metropolis, there will be comedy clubs, but there's all this space in between that's really tough to gig in.
Did you ever do Yuck Yucks?
I did.
Is that, were you one of their circuit comedians?
I wasn't good enough to be a circuit comedian when I lived in Canada. I was really just open miking. I didn't want to be a comedian. I mean, I wanted to be a soft, pretty girl with a nice life. And I only worked at Hooters because I got tired of walking. Because I was in university, I had a job at another restaurant, but I was from a small town, so I got lost in Toronto. And I was tired of walking in the sun. And I saw Hooters was there, and I said, well, if I worked at Hooters, I'd be at work by now. So then I went in and got a job
no
there instead.
Way.
Yeah.
That's not the reason.
It is.
The reason you worked at Hooters and thought, shit, I would be at work right now if I was working there. So I'm going
to be early for work.
I'd be early for work, so I'm going to work at Hooters.
If I worked at home.
Yeah, I genuinely walked in and I was like, excuse me, I'm lost. I can't find the restaurant that I work at. Can I work here instead? And the guy was like, yeah. And then it was fortuitous because the Yuck Yucks was right next to the Hooters.
Oh.
And some of my sense of humor was not always appreciated. And I thought, well, if I did comedy just for fun, just the same you would do any hobby, you know. Like, I'm sure you go sailing, but you might not want to be in a professional regatta. It was like that. I just thought it was fun. Mm. Even when I moved to the UK, I had an office job, and I was just doing stand-up for fun.
Wait, so you went from working at Hooters to doing stand-up to then moving to the UK to then working an office job while doing stand-up on the side.
Yeah.
And then what was your office job that you had in the UK?
Were you doing any sailing as well?
My dad sails. He's from Ireland.
Mm.
I'm bad at sailing. I'm invited on the boat sometimes, but I'm not allowed to touch anything. Ever since that incident with the deckhand. But I worked in like a business-to-business sales job in Holborn in London.
See, but it still is my point, is that when do you get to that moment where you go, fuck it, I'm just going to go and do stand-up as become a professional stand-up comedian?
Cause I guess it's a gradual thing, right? You kind of do it on the side until
I get that it's on the side and things like that, and I understand that. But I think that taking that leap and taking that risk into something that, you know, is unknown, and especially is that like...
especially it's risky as well. You know, I guess a lot of comedians are suddenly like, well, what, you know... Is there really going to be, a circuit when, you know, all this is over? I guess a lot of the comedians who maybe haven't already achieved fame on TV, it's you know, I guess they have to go back to normal jobs for a while.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, a lot of comedians on the circuit are really struggling right now. And I know there's some charity things coming up and some ways that we're trying to ameliorate that, but it's very hard for them. That, and the government doesn't regard comedy as an art, I don't think, or as a legitimate source of employment. So yeah, those people are trying to get regular jobs.
Yeah, which is actually bad for society. I think we need comedians.
Yeah. It's bad for society that those people be anywhere near the general public.
But Catherine, we also need to big you up a little bit because, you know, you had your daughter and you were also doing the circuit and things like that. So what, you brought her on stage? How would that even work at the time?
Yeah, well, I was 25 when I had my daughter, and then I just discovered that if I was going to go back to work after maternity leave, that daycare costs more than what I was earning in my central London office job. And I thought, oh no, well, that's a systemic problem. And then I thought,
that ain't going to work for me.
Yeah. And then I knew I didn't want to be with her dad anymore. And I also could tell very early on that if anyone was going to provide anything for her, it would be me. And then I just figured, well, if I do stand up, then I can be with my baby all day. And then I can work at night. And that just seemed like it would be easier. I was I had this gift of naivety, really, where I was like, I could do that. Oh, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do this. It's sort of like walking into Hooters and going, excuse me, if I worked at here, I'd be at work by now. I was just an idiot. And I had the privilege of being very young and being very mentally well. I was far away from my family and I was quite poor, but I sort of knew that we would be okay somehow.
Well, that's what they say, like, isn't it? That you know, success often comes from not knowing what you can't do.
Right.
Yes. Totally. This is the thing. So naivety is like everything, like not knowing what the hell you're doing. Because if you knew what you were doing, you would then like copy what everyone else is doing because that's the way to do it. But
or if you knew how difficult it was going to be, you might not have tried, and therefore you might not have realized that you could have done it.
To have the baby, you are right. But hello, I auditioned for Sean Paul. Sean Paul.
Sean Paul, Diddy Cook.
Auditioned for a Sean Paul video as like a backup dancer. That is how naive I was. I was like, I could do that.
No.
Yeah.
Wait, hang on. Okay, let's get this right. So you auditioned for being a backing dancer. Could you dance?
No.
You couldn't dance, but you thought, okay, look, I got accepted to Hooters, so therefore this is 100% going to happen. I'm going to be picked up and they're going to make me. Did they accept you? No ways.
Well, listen, Jamie, it's 100% not going to happen if you don't show up to the audition. So I would always show up. That's my advice to everyone. Show up. My flatmate and I went to the Sean Paul audition and we just really disappointed a hotel conference room of black men. They were like,
yeah, I know. That's what I was gonna say. You know, not, you know, sure, but I expect, you know, a Canadian white woman turning up to thing would have been a bit like, okay, can you dance? And you'd been like, no. And they would have said, okay, what can you do? And be like, I don't know, I can serve you some ribs.
Dance did you end up doing?
This is last week, by the way. No, I didn't dance. They didn't ask me to dance. I didn't get that far. We just walked in. And they were very polite. They were like, oh, hi, girls. Okay. I think they just asked us, general, how are you today? What, okay, thank you. Goodbye. Like, they just looked at us and they did not ask us to dance. Thank God. Because can you imagine if there had been a boombox on the table and they'd started playing some like early Rihanna or something and we'd had to... Because no one, it's sort of like a comedy gig. You do need an audience to do well. You can't do comedy at three people. Similarly, I don't think we could have danced at three people in a hotel conference room. So luckily we didn't make it that far, no. They just were very nice to us. Bye, girls. Have a great day, girls.
I did two auditions. Once I auditioned to Abercrombie and Fitch. I told this story before, ages ago, but I went to Abercrombie and Fitch, asked me to come in and audition for them. I thought I was going to be the good-looking guy, you know, with the body where you stand on the door and then everyone walks in and goes, oh my God, you're so hot. I thought I was going to be that. And then I saw like who the guys were on the door and they had like these abs and I was like, okay, I'm probably not going to be that, but I'm probably going to be the ones behind them. So I'm going to be the guys that you see the ab people, then you're going to walk in and be like, oh my God, he's so hot too. I wasn't even that guy. I got put into the stock room where I had to stack the shelves and I wasn't even allowed to use the main stairs. I had to use the lift.
Oh,
wasn't
no.
allowed on the shop floor. Yeah, that happened to me. And then the other time, when I first started doing Bailey and Chelsea, my agency said, we got you a modeling gig. I was like, what? I'm not a model. I don't understand. And they sent me to a modeling gig. Mm. And it was to be Florence of the Machine's love interest in her new music video. And they were literally like, you're not going to be this because you're 5'8" and Florence of the Machine is 6'1" or something like that. Said, you're too small to even be here.
Aww.
And it was the worst. No, it wasn't even I was just like, what the hell am I doing here? Auditions like that are the worst thing you can go into because as soon as you walk into a room, every single person is looking at you and you go, what the hell am I doing here? It's the worst.
Also, you're in that sense, you're implicitly saying that you should be the guy on the front door of Abercrombie and Fitch, that you should be Florence the Machine's love interest.
Yeah, but I had Catherine's sort of mind where I was like, well, obviously they're going to pick me. Are you kidding me? Obviously I'm going to be that guy on the door. Why wouldn't I be? And then I was really... Right, my emotions went from here to here. So the juxtaposition between what I thought was going to happen. Whoa, it was a blow. But again, so wait, what auditions have you had to do with? Have you had to turn up into a room and be like, okay, here we go, here's my script, let's go.
Yes.
Do things like that?
Auditions are really soul-destroying. I do think they're character-building, though. The worst thing is to sit as the decision-maker in an audition. And most recently, I had to do that. And that...
With what?
I'm doing a Netflix series that comes out in September. But I had to audition everyone with a room.
Sorry, Jamie, you didn't get the memo.
Yeah, I didn't get the call up.
There are no love interests, Jamie. So, but it was awful because everyone who came in was so talented. And it is not even a question of you are better than you. It's just fitting a very specific brief. It's so difficult to
say
no. That
is so much bullshit. There's no way that everyone came in and you were like, God, you're so good. I wish I could pick you. You didn't do that, did you?
Yeah.
You were like the nice one throughout the entire thing?
Well, I really thought they only brought me great people, and I did like certain people that weren't chosen for whatever reason because someone more important than me was like, no, this won't work for this reason with this person. Or then you have to think about who looks like they could be someone's mother and who look, you know, it is so silly, a lot of it. So you shouldn't take it personally. But certainly when I was young, no horrible audition stories stand out. But having been on both sides now, I understand full circle what an audition process is like. And now I would definitely rather be rejected than reject someone.
But often, I guess, the difficult thing about auditions is that it's a totally silent rejection just because you don't hear from them. It's like, it'd be nice if they like said, yeah, look, you're not right for the part. But they don't have time to like tell everyone who auditioned that they're not right. So they just have to like not get back in touch.
No, I think that's even worse. No, what they should do, see, they don't even get back. Because if you don't hear anything, you're like, oh, shit, okay, obviously. And you can kind of make up a decision in your own head. But if you walk into the room and they go, you're not right for us. You go ahead, well, why? Why am I not right for you? And then that's even worse for you. It's like I had a girlfriend once when I was really young who a girl that I really fancied and I kissed and she called me a mistake. And she never told me why I was a mistake. She just said I was a mistake.
Is this your mum?
So you need to have context in these things. Have you ever, this is a personal question, have you ever been broken up with, or have you done the breaking up before?
I do a lot of the breaking up. The only person who ever broke up with me, what, you don't believe me?
No, I just said, oh, that's because that's tough. I feel like, do you revel in the fact that you've broken up with you? Are you quite good at breaking up with someone?
No, quite the opposite. So for many years, I dated losers and scoundrels, and then I would keep them around to prove that I could fix it. I had a real rescue syndrome. So the worse their behavior got, I thought, okay, well, I'm really going to try hard this month and I'm going to fix it. And I'm going to fix it no matter how many sex workers, I'm going to fix it. And then you get your friends and family really doing interventions and worrying about you. And that just made me dig my heels in harder. I was like, no, I can fix it. And finally, I would break up with people, but they don't always leave. You know,
Do they stick around?
It's really difficult to break up with people. And the only person who's ever broken up with me is my husband. He broke up with me when we were 16. And then we just got back together 20 years later and now we're married. So.
Oh. Wait, you guys just got married? You just got married?
We got married in September.
Hey, Bobby, is it Bobby?
Yeah.
Bobby, he's my boy. Okay, Francis, if you've ever met Bobby, I've met him a few times, he basically stands backstage and watches Catherine on stage, and he's really good looking and really charming, and he just sits and chats to you. And when I met Bobby, I met him. We were doing the Rob Rinder show, and Bobby was backstage and he just sort of stands there, and he came up to me, started talking to me, and I was like, Bobby's too good looking to be like someone who does like backstage stuff, but then he's also can't be an agent. So I was like, Bobby, who the hell are you?
I
was trying to work
out. I got my own personal Abercrombie standout front guy.
Wait, so you did the full cyclical. So he broke up with you when you were 16, and then 20 years later you got back together?
Yes, I banged him for a joke when I was in Canada, because I saw him in a pub. And then I thought, oh, our mutual friends would really love the beautiful story of us banging for our 20-year anniversary of breaking up. And so we did. And I
thought you meant like a joke you could use on stage.
Well, I got loads of jokes about him now.
This is for material, by the way, Bobby.
Everything is. And then he was just really sweet. I just really liked him after that. So, I mean, it was a one-night stand that backfired terribly.
So romantic.
Wait, so hang on. Was Bobby one of the people who stuck around and you were like, oh, okay, fine, let's see what happens? Or were you like, Bobby, I feel like you should stick around?
He didn't. Well, we lived in different countries. So I was only home filming something short-term for the BBC. And then we kept chatting. He came to visit me a couple times. And then he just moved here and we got married. So it was my advice to people who are dating, I suppose, first of all, you don't have to ever get married. I wouldn't have had it not been an international legal situation. But I tried so hard to make certain things work. And this just was so easy. There was no reason not to marry Bobby. It just was easy. We've still never had a row. And everything just moved in the direction of us getting married. And so we did.
They say that's when it's actually really meant to be, is when it's just easy.
Yeah,
right?
And
it all makes sense.
You won't believe me if you're listening and you're in a bad relationship, but it really is true. I wish that I could have believed that when I was 22 and trying so hard to salvage scraps, you know, like
to compromise.
It's got to be easy.
I just love Bobby because I'm not just saying because I just do as well. Because Bobby also, Francis, like the most relaxed guy you'll meet.
Yeah,
he's so relaxed. He's literally just like, he's had like a beers and he's just chilling. Honestly, that's what he's like. And I went to Bobby, I was like, hey, Bobby, what are you doing? He went, just sit on the sofa a bit at the moment. I was like, what do you mean? He goes, I don't really have a job. I can't work here.
Yeah.
So I'm just sitting. I was like, Bobby, you legend.
He's good. But that's what a lot of Canadians are like, just so super relaxed and zen.
It's true. I've got a lot of Canadian friends in London who are all very chilled out.
Yeah.
Well, you have a lot of 37-year-old women friends, a lot of
no,
Canadian
no, I've
friends.
Got a lot of, some of my best friends are Canadian.
Are all your friends me, Francis?
Yeah.
Francis, we got to that moment. We need to have the question of the week.
What is a cross between a bison and a cow called?
Okay, Catherine, you're our guest. You have to answer first. That huff.
I just have follow-up questions.
Go on.
Like, do you mean a genetic cross like a liger?
Or a mule. There you go. There's one for you.
Is a mule a cross?
A mule's a cross. It's a donkey and a horse, isn't it? Isn't that a mule?
No, you're thinking of an ass.
I'm not thinking of an ass. An ass is a donkey.
You're always thinking of asses.
I don't know if you would call it like a cowson, I suppose. Like, not a bow. It's not going to be a bow because that's already a Korean brand.
You're
going
to go for a cowson? You think you're going to go for a cowson?
Yeah. Okay.
Lock in your answer. It's a cowson.
Okay.
And Jamie, what's yours?
I have no idea. A bison and a cow? It's going to be called a cowson. I'm going to go for a cowson as well.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for a cowson.
You can't have the same.
Okay,
that's what
fine.
She. You've got to come
I'll
up with a new.
I'll go for something else. I'll go for. It's going to be a bismu. A bismu. Mm. Yeah. There
a bismu.
A bismu. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're very excitable today, Jamie. Are you excited to be talking to. I guess you've been in quarantine.
I'm in quarantine at the moment. We're going to talk about this in part two. I'll tell you why I'm excited in a second. Catherine, you have to stop there because we have to come back in part two, but you can't go anywhere. So we'll be back in part two. All right?
Okay.
See you in part two.
See you in part two.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.